You're listening to Halford and Brough.
You need an army. That should be the slogan for the Canucks. We need an army.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Ooh, doggy. Feels like sports are back after listening to Horseface get all riled up.
Braden inspected.
Came out with this tweet, but it's looking like that the Canucks and Flames are going to be canceled tonight.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, boy. I got to tell you, that sounds awful.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Here's the thing. This is what you're getting with the Halford and Brough Show. We're both tall, skinny, so we've got pretty big feet. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Most of the times it doesn't.
We're basically radio GameStop.
It's true.
Like we're just, it's a money machine.
Good morning, Vancouver. 6 o'clock on the nose on a Thursday. It is Halford. It is Brough. It is Sportsnet 650. We are coming to you live from the Sportsnet 650 studios in beautiful Fairview Slopes in Vancouver. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good one. Nephew Dom, good morning, my friend.
Good morning.
How's everyone doing? Is everyone okay? Are spirits still okay? Everyone okay?
I'm looking at the Canucks schedule right now because I can't remember the last time they played. Oh, yeah, it was a 5-1 loss to Winnipeg.
Remember that?
Wednesday, March 24th. We were supposed to come in today and talk about the Canucks game against the Calgary Flames last night. And now I'm wondering if the Halford and Brough Show is ever going to get to talk about a Vancouver Canucks game.
The last time the Canucks played, we were unemployed. We were unemployable. Technically, we still are. I don't know how we got these jobs. Mm-hmm. But we wait, and we wait, and we wait. We thought, oh, it's okay. We'll start on Sportsnet 650 in the midst of the Canucks week off. That's fine. Because if we start on a Monday, no problem.
Yep.
Canucks play on a Wednesday. We'll be good. Not so fast. We said this yesterday. There was a chance that game was going to be postponed, and we ultimately were right, as you heard in the intro, and as you are probably all well aware, the Canucks and Flames game last night was postponed due to a COVID-19 situation with the Canucks. So what we know, Adam Gaudette, officially on the NHL's COVID-19 protocol list. There are other players, and a coach. We don't know the identity of any. We might not find that out. But the NHL is going to release an update later today. We will know more as the day goes along. Now, I will say this. Just because there was no game last night, it doesn't mean that we have a shortage of topics to get into today. There's a lot to get into on this program. I'm like telling you. I'm shaking my finger at you. I'm being very demonstrative.
Why are you being so like
demonstrative?
Why are you pointing at me? Pointing is rude.
I'm telling you.
Okay.
I'm telling Nephew Dom. We're going to tell you what's happening on the program first. In the continued theme for this week, bringing back our good old friends from the old show, Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. 6:30, Greg is going to join us. He'll be a weekly guest here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. We are going to talk with him about the Sabres finally bumping their slump after 18 games without a win. The Sabres got one last night. And now our focus turns to the train wreck that is the Philadelphia Flyers, who lost 6-1 to those Buffalo Sabres. What a disaster. We'll also talk about
it's
the league.
It's like they pass on the bad mojo.
It's true. If you get beat by
wasn't there a Denzel movie about something that gets passed on? Like a demon that gets passed on from one to the other?
Yes. What was that?
Don't.
Instead of cricketing us, look up the movie.
Yeah, look up the movie. Yeah,
Google Denzel pass on demon movie. I'm sure it'll work. 6:30, Greg Wyshynski. We'll also talk about the latest COVID situations around the NHL. We'll also start talking in more detail, Jason, the trade deadline. Because today, which we haven't even mentioned yet, is April Fool's Day. It's the first day of April. So we're only 11 days away from the trade deadline.
It's called Fallen.
Fallen, that's what I thought.
Very
nice. I was like, is it Fallen? And then I was like,
did my Google search work?
Yeah, actually it did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Jason just did the thing where someone tells you the name of something, and you immediately jump on it as if you knew.
Right, Fallen.
I did. Well,
Fallen.
Sorry. Who was the one that actually said, there's a movie?
Jason's the movie
Denzel.
Guy, by the way.
And then I was like, wait a minute. No, is that Falling Down? No, that's the Michael Douglas
movie. Douglas one.
Yeah.
Where he's dressed
Jason just immediately did that thing.
I said Fallen. You were like, oh, Fallen. Yeah,
Fallen. Hoffman. Yes. 6:30, Greg Wyshynski is going to join us on the program. 7 o'clock, Andy McCullough. Now, we've never spoken to Andy McCullough, and truth be told, I wasn't all that familiar with his work prior to yesterday, but Dom said, it's opening day, Major League Baseball, I got a guy. Andy McCullough is a senior national MLB writer for The Athletic. You had him on Reach Deep on a number of occasions. Tell us about young or old Andrew, because I don't know much about him.
He's got a personality. Yes. I like his work. Excellent. And whenever he comes on, he gives us great baseball insights. So I thought, bring him on to the new old show.
Perfect. Okay, so we are...
He'll be great for us. He's like, tell us about baseball.
Bruff and I were talking about this last night. We're going to frame the questions. We're like, so Andy, let's say hypothetically you were on a radio show with guests or hosts that hypothetically didn't know much about baseball.
Just hypothetically.
Theoretically speaking, what would you tell those hosts about baseball? Because, we're trying our best here. The Jays are on today, obviously. They're going to play in Texas. Apparently in front of all of Texas is going to be in attendance for that game, which is just fantastic.
Well, I don't know if they've actually sold the game out.
Right. But they have the ability to, right? Mm. The potential is there that if they want to put everybody in the stadium,
President Biden came out and said, that's a bad idea.
Right. It's not the greatest, but we're going to see what happens. So the Jays open there. That does actually affect programming on the station.
That's not today, by the way.
Sorry.
That's not today. So the Jays start
in
New York against the Yankees today.
Right. Sorry. Jays and Yankees today. The Rangers game, which is the Rangers home opener, will be against the Jays. Correct. That game, the Yankees game today is going to affect our programming because Sertool, also known as the Scotty Rintoul Karen Sermon Show, is a no-go today. At 9 o'clock, we're going to pick up the pregame show. Is that correct?
Baseball Central.
Baseball Central at 9, and then the Jays' first pitch at 10. So 7 o'clock, Andy McCullough. We're going to run through all the MLB stuff with Andy. 8 o'clock, Murph's going to join us. Dan Murphy, Sportsnet's very own. This is going to be cool in a very weird sort of cryptic way because he was at the arena.
Yeah, Murph was at the rink.
He was doing stand-ups. Mm-hmm. He was getting ready for the game, and then they had to be like, you know what you normally do to preview a game? Don't do that.
Go home.
But also talk on the spot about COVID and the way that it's affected this game. So we had to do that. So Murph will join us. Look.
I didn't even turn on the TV when I saw on
the Twitter?
On the Twitter that there's no game. So was Murph there?
Murph was there.
So
Shorty
they started
was there,
the Chief Canucks broadcast and then they were like, nope.
No, they didn't, because the news came down about 5:30, 6 o'clock, right? But, I mean, the guys get there several hours early.
Tonight in Vancouver, nothing.
They had shots. Like, they had a camera guy getting shots of, like, the trainers clearing the bench, and I think they had one of Green leaving the ranks. So there is a lot of questions, and I dropped the look, but there's a lot of questions that we're not going to have answers to. Mm-hmm. It's too early in the morning, for one. Like, we don't know. We're also not going to get a real solid update from the NHL probably until we're off the air. Like it usually goes at noon Eastern, 9 o'clock our time. So there's a chance that we'll get the official COVID-19 player list, the protocol list, that usually comes out daily. So you'll see the names of any Canucks players that were added to it. Because remember Adam Gaudette was already on it. Maybe we'll find out what member of the coaching staff has contacted the virus. And we also don't even know if it's a positive test. Because when you're on COVID-19 protocol, remember, that can mean a variety of different things. Mm-hmm. It can be close contact. It doesn't necessarily mean you've tested positive. So what we're looking at now, and we'll get into this and what happened, is what comes next. We'll try and wade through the waters, but it's not easy because we don't have a ton of information. This is all, obviously, some of it is confidential and some of it we just don't know yet. So Murph at 8 o'clock, Andy McCullough at 7 o'clock, Greg Wyshynski at 6:30. That's what's happening on the program. Dom, let's tell everybody what happened.
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No. Oh, what happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened? Missed it?
You missed that?
What happened?
Well, we begin with the Canucks. For the second time in a matter of weeks, the Scosche, also known as the North Division, has been impacted by COVID-19. League postponed last night's game between the Canucks and the Flames after a second Vancouver player and a member of the team's coaching staff were added to the league's COVID-19 protocol list. Gaudette is one of them, as we mentioned. I think you all know this. Let's get into what happens now.
The Canucks are scheduled, their next game is Saturday in Edmonton and then Sunday in Winnipeg. And based on what happened with Montreal, I'm kind of thinking, it's pretty unlikely those games are going to happen now.
Right. So what happened with Montreal was, it was actually after that shootout victory over Vancouver, the 5-4 shootout victory, Kokeniemi and Joel Armia went on the COVID-19 protocol list. Now, I believe one of them tested positive for a variant. But regardless, the two players tested positive, and then the Habs had four games postponed. Three with Edmonton, which kind of derailed that road trip that Edmonton was supposed to be on, and another one against Ottawa. So let's say, just for sake of blueprint, I suppose.
The Oilers are like, come on, guys.
Well, could you imagine being on a road trip where the only relief that you have is to go play games?
Go play hockey.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go rent some movies and enjoy room service, or maybe some skip. But four games the Habs ended up missing. So if we look at the Canucks schedule, again, none of these are really going to line up in terms of this is the same as that and that and it's the same as this.
Of course.
But
yeah.
Just the most recent one in the same division was a four-game hiatus for the Habs. I mean, the Canucks could end up having cumulatively with the week off they already, like they could be off for almost two full weeks.
So it's Adam Gaudette, another player, and a coach. The coach for me is the big one.
Totally.
Because let's say it's, and we'll go through all these coaches, like, We're just speculating here. Let's say it's Greener, right?
Okay.
And then he's probably had some meetings with some players. He's been around the players.
For sure.
Let's say it's Baumgartner. He's probably had some meeting with the defenseman or the PK. Newell Brown, the power play guys. Like, it is that for me is the one that I'm kind of like, oh, this could shut things down for a while.
Lest we forget, the coaches would also have meetings with one another routinely, frequently.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, because we've seen various instances this year where teams have had their entire coaching staff wiped out. Now, just to add another wrinkle to this, I believe Patrick Johnson astutely pointed this out on The Province last night. You don't have the option, like some of these teams do, of just porting in your American League coaching staff. We've seen a lot of teams
do that. That's very true, yeah.
The Vegas Golden Knights did that because the Henderson Silver Knights are just right next door. It's really easy to get that done. Bringing up the staff from Utica is a total no-go. It doesn't work. So
Jim Benning behind the bench?
That would be something. And it would, honestly, at this stage of the game, if you want to extrapolate it out and look what might happen, it's a possibility. Now, we've got IMAC on this, correct? Now, again, last night was very discombobulated on a number of fronts. The TV front, the radio front, the Canucks front, obviously. People were scrambling to try and make sense of what was going on. Remember, a lot of the assembled media was in Rogers Arena ready to watch a game when they got news that the game wasn't going to happen. So everyone kind of had to turn around and go home. So here's IMAC piecing together what happened last night, and then we'll kind of try again and look ahead to the future.
So the Canucks have their morning skate. Test results from yesterday for everybody but Gaudette are clear, but because of the circumstances, the tests that they have done this morning are expedited. They get those back this evening, not too long before the game, and that's when, according to Elliot Friedman reporting, two players and a member of the coaching staff have tested positive. So those positive tests, as far as I know, the best that I can determine, those positive tests were from this morning.
I think that pretty much sums it up. Do you have anything else you really want to throw in here? I mean, again, because you know what the real issue is with these conversations? Is if you keep talking about it, eventually you start straying away from what you know and you start like getting into the hypotheticals of what you don't know. And that can be a problem because at this stage of the game, information is scarce.
I think it's just for me, it's just a sense of frustration that we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm talking big picture here.
Sure.
I'm talking about the daily lives of all of us. And we know that once everyone's vaccinated, things should go back to normal. And we're seeing the United States ahead of us in this vaccination, you know, game. And I'm just looking at this and going, this is so frustrating because we just want this to be over.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm just kind of like, and we're just.
And it's not going away.
Yeah. You see the COVID numbers in BC now. Mm-hmm. I think there was 1,000 1,000 new cases.
Broke four digits for the first time. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And now I'm not saying that it would be better if there was no vaccine and we couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. But I am saying that it's just very, I just want things to get done.
For sure.
And this season now is being held up again. And let's be honest, the Canucks, we're going to have to play miracle hockey in order to get back into a playoff spot. So now we're just kind of kicking the can down the road until, you know, we see the next game. And you're kind of like,
season's already been extended once, very well be extended again. Remember, if the Canucks have to make up these games at the back end of the schedule, I mean, we could have a scenario in mid-May where the Canucks and the Habs are playing these tack-on games at the end of the season just to get their full slate in. On the subject of the Canucks, what else happened yesterday? Well, it's not officially official from the club yet, but according to Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman and the owner, Francesco Aquilini, on Twitter, the Vancouver Canucks have signed goaltender Thatcher Demko to a five-year extension. According to Friedge, it's an average annual cap hit of $5 million. So a very standard 5-over-5, which is sort of the going rate for a starting netminder of this caliber that you're not going to have a timeshare with, that you've denoted as the number one. The response on Twitter, in a rare moment for Canucks Twitter, most people seemed happy. Very, very rare. Very rare feeling in this part of the night.
Well, with goalies, you just never know, right? Mm-hmm. You never know. But what I do like about this deal is it locks Thatcher Demko up for his prime.
Yes.
He's 25 years old right now. They got him under contract for 5 more years. So that's his prime. You know, some goalies are still very good into their early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Smith is
into his late 30s.
64 now, I think.
It's into his early 60s.
Playing quite well. But I do like that. But I just wonder, I can't say I'm shocked by it or I was surprised by it, but because the Canucks did buy a few unrestricted years for Demko, the cap hit did go up because of that.
Correct.
On a short-term deal, they probably could have got him for below this cap hit. So next season, you've got $9.3 million tied up in goalies, which isn't outrageous by any means. Like, it's not like, holy cow, what do you got? Like,
it's
the
like half of what Montreal has.
Yeah, well, exactly, right? Mm-hmm. But they've still got all these issues, and they've still got to sign Pettersson and Hughes, and you hear that they want to sign Tanner Pearson, and you're just kind of like, where are you going to find the money?
So
what are you doing here?
You bring up a good point, because there was a list going around yesterday of all the goalies, the RFA goalies that signed the two-year, three-year bridge deal out of their RFA contract instead of what the Canucks did and buy up a couple of those UFA years. So it's Grubauer and Tristan Jarry and Elvis Merzlikens and John Gibson. And the interesting one is Jordan Binnington, because he's obviously got ties to the Canucks now, because the Canucks broke him. I don't know if you remember this or not. But
he also won a Stanley Cup, which was good for him.
Very good. So after his Stanley Cup win, that was the end of his RFA deal. So he signed, and he's actually on this deal right now, 2 years at $4.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
So as you said, like, if you sign him to a shorter-year deal, you knock down the AAV a little bit. Now,
probably had a better case than Demko.
And
won the Stanley Cup.
Right. And the postscript to that story is then he cashed in with a 6-over-6 deal, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So I understand all sides of the discussion. I won't call it a debate because I don't think it ever got that heated. But do we have Friedge on this? I believe Friedge kind of summed up what the Canucks were trying to do and what kind of statement they were trying to make in locking up Thatcher Demko to a 5-year, $25 million extension.
You know, it's pretty clear that this really intensified over the last few days, and then the Canucks determined this was a priority. And to me, that's smart. I think they really grinded, it sounds like. The negotiation was a bit of a back and forth, as you would expect. I think they really hoped to get Demko into an area where it felt it wouldn't affect what they think they need to do for Pettersson and Hughes. I would guess, and I'm sure Benning will say this whenever he talks, that they feel they accomplished that. But the bottom line to me is that over the last week, they decided this was a priority to get done, and they worked towards it.
Yeah, that was one of the big takeaways for me, was that they put this one at the front of the queue. They made this one a priority. They reached out. They got this deal done. The Canucks I'm talking about, of course. But you bring up a good point earlier where you were saying, okay, this is done. Great. Tick mark. But
yeah, and before we say that, like, I'm a big fan of Demko. I think the one thing that you've got to like about Demko is he has shown improvement just at every level, and he's gone through the process, and he hasn't been impatient, and now it's paying off for him. Now, of course, he's got to hold up his end of the bargain and keep working. Mm-hmm. There are going to be ups and downs.
Yeah.
For any goaltending, for any goalie, there are going to be ups and downs, right? Mm-hmm. And you look at Carter Hart in Philly right now, even Connor Hellebuck. He's had these ups and downs in Winnipeg.
Right.
And Demko will go through that, and we'll get to Ian Clark later because
that's the thing.
A good goalie coach can help you through those ups and downs. But what I really do like about Demko, and I remember chatting with him a couple of years ago for an article in The Athletic, and he was just so matter-of-fact about everything. And he was talking about how, you know, how he started, and then when he got to college, he had some struggles, mm-hmm. but the more he played at that level, the better he got and the more he learned, and the bad experiences were the things that he needed to have happen to him. Mm-hmm. And then he got to the AHL and it was the same sort of thing, struggled a little bit, and then he got better. He went, okay, I've got to learn this new level now. And he did put the work in, and then it was the same at the NHL level.
Yeah.
Right.
So I get what you're saying.
I just like that he's just gone through the process. The Canucks have done a really good job developing Thatcher Demko, and now it's in the position of, all right, time for the payoff here. He seems like a humble yet also really competitive guy, and I think that's what you want in a goaltender. He doesn't seem to fly off the handle, and so I like Thatcher. He's proven, like, you know me, I don't trust goalies ever.
You do not.
And he's just... There's a trust level there that I've got right now with Thatcher Demko. We will get to the Ian Clark situation later, but you mentioned we're talking about the salary cap right now. So the big question I think a lot of people have is, how are the Canucks going to fit everything in? They've got $9.3 million next season now tied up in the goaltender position.
And I don't know if you've checked the in-basket around. Many people pointing out that it's closer to $12 million with the Luongo cap recapture in there as well, tied up into goalies.
Right. Okay. Well,
you know what, folks? Sure. We don't talk about cap recapture on this show. We don't say it out loud. It's like Voldemort. You just don't say it out loud.
It's okay? A downer.
It is, and it's the stupidest punishment in NHL history because it's affected exactly one contract. Mm-hmm. So we don't talk about it. We're House of Positivity here. We like to look at the bright side of things. But it brings a good point to mind. With all this money tied up in various facets of the club, what about Pettersson? What about Hughes? What are the numbers there? Well, we go back to Elliot Fried now. Yeah, the clip here, I believe, is that he believes the Canucks already have a number in mind for both of their young stars.
I think they have a number for those two guys. And we talked about this last night. It's around $15 million. And I think that's what they've budgeted. And, you know, that's give or take a little bit. And, you know, you're not getting those two guys right now done for $15 million if you're talking long, 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 long term. So I think you're looking at bridges, and we'll see where we get. Is it exactly 15? Who knows? It probably depends on term or how much everybody here wants to grind. But, you know, that to me, I think that Demko was a huge priority for them, but also from what I can tell, they made it very clear that there was a limit to where they were willing to go.
So we got a lot more to get to on the program today. We'll circle back on the Canucks talk throughout. We got Murph coming up at 8:00. We'll get into everything that happened last night, Demko extension, and then we'll talk about what we just heard, extensions, the priorities, next priorities, I think. All due respect to whatever they're going to do with Tanner Pearson. I think they got to start looking at the deals for Pettersson and for Hughes. Coming up next, Greg Wyshynski, our good friend from ESPN. We will go around the NHL with Greg. Buffalo's nightmare is over. After 18 games without a win, they finally got one last night. Greg wrote a big piece about it for ESPN. We'll talk to him about the trade deadline that is coming up. It is now April, so we're only a handful of days away from the annual NHL trade deadline. Everything NHL coming up next with Greg Wyshynski, our good friend from ESPN. It's Halford, it's Bruff, it's Sportsnet 650 right here in Vancouver. .629 on a Thursday. Halford, Bruff, Sportsnet 650. So much drama in Vancouver right now. Never mind the LBC. We're still trying to figure out exactly what's going on here with the coach. Don't look at me like that. That's a good line.
That was a great line.
It was okay. Seemed a little forced now that I think back on it.
Really?
That's fine.
I think this is going to sound like the whitest thing ever. Just like...
Go for it.
The G-Funk instrumentals.
You like them.
It's a good start. Right?
It is.
Yeah.
I like that. G-Funk. I'm processing.
Yeah. I'm okay. A big fan of the G-Funk era. Yeah.
Don't say it like that. You know what? I've made up my mind. It does not sound good. Okay.
We were listening to some of the G-Funk stuff on the golf course the other day, and we really enjoyed it. It has a good beat.
I was on the 16th, and someone was playing some rap music. Okay. Pierre LeBrun just put out, on the Canucks, he writes, this is on the Twitter, the league wasn't made aware of any additional issues last night regarding the COVID-19, but the sense is that more time will be needed to assess everything. Whether Vancouver is looking at a few days or longer, we don't know yet. So that's the latest update. Again, we will keep you posted on everything and anything that we can get our hands on with regards to the Canucks COVID-19 postponement. But before we do any of that, we must get to the phone lines now. We are so very excited to bring back another of our old friends onto the new radio show. It's Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. He joins us now, and we are very happy to have him back. Good morning, Wish. How are you?
Good morning. This reminds me of when Letterman left NBC for CBS here in the U.S., and, you know, he just bought all the same jokes and, you know, people with him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was great, but it was, like, the same.
Yeah.
So this is kind of what it reminds me of.
Totally, yeah. Now, just a different studio.
Now, one of the other big changes that's gone on is that you've moved. You've moved coasts again.
Yeah, I did. That's right. I completely forgot the last time we spoke. Yeah. I think I was still living in California. But, yeah, no, we moved back to New York City for various and sundry reasons. Everyone thinks it's because ESPN got the rights. I mean, it's not because ESPN got the rights, but it's for a number of other reasons. It's our favorite city in the world, and the opportunity presented itself to come back home, and we're really happy to be back. Although I gotta say, man, giving up those days of hopping on the old elliptical trainer and watching NHL hockey at 4 p.m. that is something that I will miss. Quite frankly, as I stayed up last night to write about Nathan MacKinnon throwing his helmet at somebody. And that would have happened during dinner time back in California.
The other thing that I wanted to ask you about, and you alluded to it there, was in between our hiatus, we didn't get a chance to talk about big news for you. Is it that one of the senior lead NHL writers at ESPN, you guys getting the broadcast deal and the broadcast rights? You've had some time to obviously digest the news and then move back across the country. So I know this is like a big question. I hate talk about questions, but talk about what it was like to learn that NHL was getting back into covering ESPN was getting back into covering the NHL.
Well, I mean, we've always covered it. Thanks.
You know what I mean.
But no, I know what you mean. No, I mean, it's awesome. And, not only awesome for me, the biggest change in just the conversations I've been having with people internally is like a lot of the big ideas that you have that get no's because you don't have the rights to the property that you are covering all of a sudden become yeses or at the very least maybes. And that's great because, I mean, there's a ton of things that I've wanted to do at ESPN that, you just don't necessarily have the resources to do if they don't have their hand in the cookie jar. I mean, it's no secret how this works. So that's, for me, really exciting. And there's going to be just a lot more, you know, fun stuff we're going to be able to create there. But the two things for me in getting the deal, one is I could not be happier for the hockey people I work with. And, you know, most people know the names like Linda Cohen and Buchagrass and Melrose and Levy and those guys. But like, there's so many other people that work in Bristol that have Hartford Whaler stuff on their desks and Bruins stuff and Ranger stuff. And just there's a ton of hockey fans there. And I think they're all going to now get a chance to work on the sport that they love. And that's a really exciting thing. And the other thing too, is that from sort of a general perspective, I'm really happy we're the primary rights holder. I'm even happier there's going to be someone else that has part of the deal because the monolithic one network thing that the NHL has done here in the United States since 2005 has been a mistake. And you need to you need to try to reach as many audiences as you can. I think ESPN is a great place to be because you will reach new audiences without question, just like what we do best. Mm-hmm. But having it on another network, whoever that's going to be, I think is the real key to the deal, because you really want to spread your wealth and have your product available in more places than, you know, the network that shows the car auctions, which is what it's been like for 15 right. years.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the beauty.
Those car auctions are actually pretty good.
I'm not going to lie. They're not bad. There's also those NHL top tens. Bruff and I are in a few of them that they just keep airing and airing.
Me too. I remember sitting down and filming a bunch of those too. And, you know, it's just jarring. I think the thing the thing we're dancing around is that ESPN also has a lot of sports programming that goes beyond car auctions and reruns and fishing shows. And so I think that's another real big thing too. I mean, you're going to be able to be watching an NBA game and seeing a sick Connor McDavid highlight and being like, watch this hockey game on Tuesday or whatever. And it's going to be really cool. I mean, I could not be obviously more excited about the next 7 years.
I know it's your company, so sometimes it's a little bit uncomfortable to talk about this, but what do you think was the main reason that they did pursue the NHL rights? What did they see in the NHL that they liked?
Well, it's two things. I mean, from a demographic perspective, I've gotten the sense that they think the NHL is in a place right now, not only with the collection of star players that they have, but also with the style of play, that it could reach younger audiences in a way that it hasn't so far in the U.S. And I completely agree with that. I mean, I think when you watch McDavid or Matthews or any of these young stars play and they're given the chance to play the way they want to play, I mean, it's like nothing else. I mean, it's kinetic and there's no reason why, that can't be presented to a young audience and get a new generation of fans excited about hockey. Provided, of course, you know, these guys can show a little personality now and again, which I think ESPN's also really good at. The other reason is sort of your sports businessy reason, which is that ESPN Plus has become a huge thing for us, you know, both on air and on the site. I mean, my stuff here in the U.S. has been behind an ESPN Plus paywall for the entire season. So the idea that the entirety of the NHL's pay-per-view package, the NHL.tv package, is now going to be exclusively on ESPN Plus here in the States is huge. Like, if you want to get all the games, you got to get ESPN Plus, and that's really, I mean, going to bolster the service in the same way that, you know, having UFC fights exclusive to Plus and having, you know, college sports exclusive to Plus really bolstered that service too.
We're speaking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. There's two more things I want to get into. They're kind of related in that I'm on ESPN right now, and there's both pictures of Buffalo Sabres players for both of these. So the first is that the nightmare is over. The Sabres have ended their 18-game winless streak. I know you wrote about this yesterday. You've moved to New York. Now, obviously, Buffalo's in Western New York. You're a little bit farther away, but you're still close. What's the sense that you've gotten from this team? Because we always talk about terrible cultures and losing attitudes. And then on top of all that, they go out and do this. Like, a down franchise has this historic losing streak. It ends yesterday. That's nice. But the real story is still that they went 18 in a row without a victory. What's your sense of this market, this team, and this franchise right now?
First of all, let me give you a little geography lesson here. Toronto, that's a suburb. I mean, Buffalo is a suburb of Toronto.
Yes.
Okay. It has nothing to do with New York City. It could be farther. It might as well be Guam.
Yeah. Halford just pulled a Marshawn
in
Lynch.
New York City. Yeah. It's
all in New York.
So,
Western
New
York.
I don't have any insight into the wing sauce slathered culture of Western New York outside of the fact they have good ice wine. Now, listen, I couldn't be happier for the Sabres. I think the way that they broke the streak last night was awesome in the sense that they built up another lead entering the third period. You know, one game after, they all said they panicked because they were actually winning and didn't know how to close out the game. And so to learn from your mistakes and to correct them and win and break the streak in the way that they did, I think is really awesome. As I wrote about in my column today, though, what gives me pause is that Don Granato, the interim coach, admitted that between the second and third periods, him and his coaching staff just kind of like left and let the players figure it out for themselves. And I just feel that's a great story, but also extremely dangerous, because there's every chance that Terry and Kim Bagula will look at that and decide they don't need to pay coaches next year and cut corners on it. So I do think that there is a danger of that happening.
The other thing that I wanted to get to is the article that just went live about 40 minutes ago. Why this year's NHL trade deadline is the most extraordinary in league history. Please explain.
All right, this is a great one. I'm pretty proud of this column. There's a lot in here that I think people really haven't thought about. For example, first-round picks are meaningless. They're just meaningless. I've talked to a bunch of GMs. They're all like, you know, people are offering them. We don't really want them because of how mysterious the draft is. Like, it's, you know, if you roll the dice on in a normal draft, this is like rolling one of those 20-sided Dungeons & Dragons dice. I mean, that's the level of crapshoot we're talking about right now with how much people don't know about the prospects and don't know about a lot of the people in the draft. So the idea that the first round draft picks are like the biggest commodity you can deal if you're a contending team, and other teams are just kind of like, I don't know if we really want them this year. The other thing,
can
I
the Canucks still
too,
have some?
I don't know. Well,
are they just going to be handing them out? Because I mean, if they're just handing them out.
Well, that's a really good point. I talked to one GM who told me, he's like, hey, look, I mean, for all the teams that are like, we don't need them because the draft is so wonky this year, we believe in our scouting apparatus. Mm-hmm. We believe in our player development apparatus. If you don't want them, we'll take them. So there are going to be some GMs that are like, gimme, 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 while other teams are kind of like, you know, give me your 2022 one instead. The other big thing in this column is something I didn't really think about. So there's no fans in the stands. I mean, like, there are some fans in the stands, but a lot of places are very empty and no one's really making any money. The idea that you're going to go to the trade deadline and be super aggressive to make the playoffs this year, I mean, in most seasons that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. In this season, the deeper you go in the playoffs, the more money you're going to lose. Like, that's a fact of life. I haven't really thought about it until a couple of GMs brought it up to me this week. If you make a run to the Stanley Cup final, you're going to lose money in every round because you don't have any ticket revenue coming in. But you're also spending money on travel, and you're also spending money on all of those COVID protocols that we've had to deal with all season, but now on even a more extended and, in some cases, grander scale because you're going to be going away from your normal geographic area. So there is that sort of economic specter haunting this season of they've already lost so much money, and oddly, the more successful they are in the playoffs, the more they'll lose, which is kind of a nutty notion, but it's definitely something these guys are thinking about as the deadline approaches.
What about the Seattle Kraken and general manager Ron Francis? How do they play into all this?
I talked to a few. So he's having all the talks with the GMs right now as far as like trying to lay the groundwork for stuff. And I talked to a couple of GMs that were trying to be a little aggressive and cut their little side deals and stuff. And the word that a couple of them used to me was that Francis and the Kraken are being very coy. That was the word they used. It's very coy. You know, they don't want to put their cards on the table. They don't want to make deals right now. They kind of want to see where things shake out during the trade deadline. They kind of want to see where things shake out when the protected lists come out, even though they have a pretty good idea of what they're going to look like now. And you know, the asking price for stashing your contracts with the Kraken or also trying to protect guys that might be unprotected on your list, it's going to be high. I mean, it's going to be like a first rounder. It's going to be a prospect. It's going to be a lot of the same prices that we saw with the Golden Knights. So the Kraken influence, I think, on the deadline is definitely in amongst defensemen, because a lot of teams want to go and protect seven forwards and 3D. And if you make a deal for Matthias Ekholm, well, you certainly have to account for the fact that he has an extra season on his contract. So you are seeing the Kraken effect there, but I think you're definitely, you know, seeing it in sort of the mystery behind the scenes for these teams that can't quite figure out where Francis and Seattle are headed decision-wise.
I'm trying to figure out if the Kraken are going to have an easier or harder time than Vegas. I think it's going to be harder because, well, I mean, I imagine that NHL GMs around the league have learned a few lessons from what happened with Vegas, but also the clearinghouse potential of the Kraken right now in a flat salary cap. I mean, I imagine there's going to almost every team in the league is going to approach the Kraken about clearing cap space. I think about the Canucks with a guy like Louis Erickson or name your player, you know, So I don't know if it's, you know, the expectations are going to be high for the Seattle team based on Vegas, and I don't know if they're going to be able to meet those. But still, they are very well positioned if they're willing to take on some bad contracts, because there are lots of bad contracts out there and so many teams in cap trouble.
No, and I think you make a really good point, which is that teams have certainly learned their lessons from the Vegas experience as far as overreacting to the pressures of the expansion draft. But it still isn't going to stop teams from making bad decisions. I mean, like the Riley Smith Marchessault thing at the time, you know, it seemed like, oh, that's kind of an overpayment to do that. But no one knew that they were going to all of a sudden, you know, mesh with William Karlsson, become the best line in the league, you know, in the inaugural season of the franchise. And it's not going to stop GMs from making dumb decisions. I mean, there's still going to be somebody out there that does the, we must protect Josh Manson at all costs here, take Shea Theodore from us kind of thing. So I think teams are wiser. I think they're going to be more cognizant, but I still think that this whole game has been rigged by Gary Bettman and the NHL to help the team that paid $750 million to enter the party have a really good time by either drafting good players or exerting enough pressure on the market to have good players fall to them through trades.
Greg, you're the best, man, and it was awesome getting you back in the rotation here. We love it. We're very excited. We'll do this again next Thursday. In the meantime, enjoy the week, and get ready, because the trade deadline is just around the corner.
Hey, needless to say, I love you boys. I could not be happier for you guys, and I hope everybody that might be checking you out for the first time understands that these guys are the best at what they do, and it's great to hear you guys back on the air.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks, you're the buddy. Best, Greg. Thanks, dude. That's Greg Wyshynski, our NHL insider from ESPN here on the Halford and Brough Show on TSN 1040. You know what I love about having Greg on is he thinks about things and chases storylines. Yeah, he thinks more than I do. He goes down roads that I never would have thought of. For example, I would have, and I'm sure someone probably gave him the idea because he even acknowledged he didn't think about it, but the idea that the further you go in the playoffs – and the longer your Stanley Cup road goes, the more money you're losing this year.
Can you imagine if Carolina makes a run, knowing their owner?
Yeah. It's by, like, can we stop this?
By the Stanley Cup final, they'll be like, four in a room, boys.
Wear your masks.
This motel we're staying in is not in a good place in town, and you will want to use the deadbolt.
Every player is responsible for getting his own Airbnb.
Or take an Uber X to the game.
Don't say anything about your special teams coach in the Uber. That's all I'm saying.
Our poll question today comes in the wake of Thatcher Demko being said. The Canucks haven't announced this 5-year contract extension, but
the owner did.
The owner said it's great to have Demko locked up. I can't remember exactly what his tweet was. Something about injuries, probably. But it's a 5-year, $25 million extension, reportedly. What we don't know yet is whether or not his goaltender coach, Ian Clark, is going to be along for that ride. He's still a pending free agent, as is the head coach, Travis Green. And perhaps that's tied to everything. Perhaps they want to get the head coach done before they get the goalie coach. But our poll question today is, how upset will you be if the Canucks don't or can't keep Ian Clark as goalie coach? Furious is the first option. Mildly perturbed. I enjoy that word, perturbed. Or the third and final option is won't care.
Don't say the results just yet. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and unveil those results on the other side. It's Halford, it's Prof, it's Sportsnet 650. .652 on a Thursday. Halford, Prof, Sportsnet 650.
There you go.
According to a couple texters, apparently I signed off the Greg Wyshynski interview. Greg, of course, from ESPN. With a classic Halford and Brough on TSN 1040.
You just did it again.
2 days in a row, I've done that. So the swear jar is getting filled. In case you missed it on our opening show on Monday, I did say that we're going to have the Halbro equivalent of a swear jar for adults for every time I say you're listening to Halford and Brough on TSN 1040, because it's ingrained.
Stop saying it.
Well, I can say it.
I don't even like it.
It doesn't even exist anymore. It's fine. It's like we're talking.
The first three letters do.
Yeah, the 1040 part doesn't exist.
The 1040 still exists.
They're the enemy now.
Okay.
Ferraro and I each left each other like very aggressive emails or voicemails.
Yeah.
It was just like, you're dead to me, basically.
We had the same exchange with Frank Saravalli.
Yeah.
It's like, dead to me now. Like, mm-hmm. likewise.
Yeah.
Anyway, I apologize.
You were never alive to me, Frank.
I do acknowledge that, one, I made a boo-boo. Mm-hmm. Two, swear jar. Getting filled. By the end of the week, there's going to be enough to buy a six-pack in there, like Homer.
Well, Canucks fans, I think, are going to be swearing if they don't keep Ian Clark as the goalie coach in Vancouver.
So good at radio.
Yeah. Our poll question today, how upset will you be if Vancouver can't keep Ian Clark as goalie coach? Thatcher Demko, 5-year contract extension. Will the guy that many... See, I'm always hesitant to say, like, Thatcher Demko's good because of Ian Clark. I think Thatcher Demko is probably good mostly because of, you know, Thatcher Demko.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Not in this market.
What are the results of said poll question?
So, three options here. Furious, mildly perturbed, or won't care. There's been 500 votes on this one already.
I just looked it up.
70% of you will be furious.
Yowza.
If the Canucks can't keep Ian Clark as goalie coach. 23% saying mildly perturbed. Only 7% of you, and I'm rounding up here from 6.6%, won't care. This will be, I think, bigger than if the Judd Brackett situation.
Ah, good comparison. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's one of
sort
the
of like sideline guys, maybe not like frontline mm-hmm. employees or players, right? Because everyone's like, how can we have an endless debate about the scouting director? That was the Judd Brackett thing. Mm-hmm. And I see lots of those comments. How are we having this heated debate about the goalie coach? But this is Vancouver. That's how we do it. I have two questions for you on this poll question. One, what did you expect the results to be? Did you think...
Similar.
You thought 70% would be furious? Mm-hmm. Okay.
The amount of... So when Aquilini went on Twitter mm-hmm. and announced that it was great to have Demko long-term,
yeah,
I checked the replies and 50% of them must have been, you better re-sign right. Ian Clark.
Now get the Ian Clark contract done. Okay, second question. If Thatcher Demko was voting on this poll, what would Thatcher Demko vote?
I don't know because I don't know, I'm not Thatcher Demko.
What do you think he'd vote?
I think he probably wants him to stick around.
Sure, he'd
right?
want him to stay, right? Why would you want to change anything?
I always compare goalies to golfers, just because I think you see some guys play and you're like, wow, that guy's going to be good forever,
right?
And then he falls off, right? And there's mm-hmm. only a very rare few that stay really good throughout their career, and even those guys have blips here and there. Now, a big thing with golf is, Who's your swing instructor? Who's your coach? It's a little different in golf because the golfers are independent contractors, so they hire their own coaches. In hockey, it's weird because you might have a goalie that really likes his goalie coach,
mm-hmm.
but that guy's a team employee. It might be alternative, right? You might have a goalie that's like, I don't like this goalie coach, and the team is still like, oh yeah, well, he's your guy because he works for the team. So in that way, it's different than golf. But I would imagine that Thatcher Demko, even though I've heard Ian Clark can be hard on goalies,
mm-hmm.
he's a tough coach, Thatcher Demko probably goes, yeah, I probably want this guy to stick around.
Coming up on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650, Andy McCullough, senior MLB writer for The Athletic. It is opening day in Major League Baseball. Barring any weather or COVID-related incidents, every single team is scheduled to begin play today, the first day of the MLB season. So what better way to kick it off than with the senior MLB writer for The Athletic, Andy McCullough, that is next on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.